From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank all of you. Thank you all so much. You're excited. You're not as excited as I am. We got a great show for you today. Later on, we're going to be talking to Tavi Gevinson. She's the amazingly talented young fashion blogger and editor. But first, the U.S. Postal Service announced that you no longer have to be dead to be on a stamp. It's a new rule. And who better to inaugurate the new living person stamps than esteemed broadcaster, judge, and scorekeeper, man about town, Mr. Carl Castle. That's our idea. So I think they'd lick that, Carl. I think that's what they're saying. So to save the U.S. Post Office some time, we have gone ahead and designed the Carl Castle stamp. We commissioned an artist. It's all done. You can see it at our website, waitwait.npr.org. And since nobody writes letters anymore, feel free to just paste the image into your emails. It'll make you seem more avuncular. It'll be good. Before you do that, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Olin Stevens from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Oh, how are things in Silver Spring?
Oh, they're great. There's no earthquakes.
That's
no
fine. You are a you're a suburb of Washington, right?
Yes.
So do you work for the permanent government?
Right now, yeah. I work for the FDA.
You do? What do you do for them?
I'm a chemist. I look at how drugs are made.
Oh, what does that involve?
Well, companies submit drug applications to prove that they're safe and effective, but they also have to show how they make them to show that they can make them consistently.
Really, do you ever get to, like, just pop them in your mouth and see what happens? Because I would. Well, Olin, welcome to the show. Let me formally introduce our panel to you first. It's a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning. Ms. Faith Saley is here.
Hello there, Olin.
Next, it's a comedian who will be performing at Caroline's in New York from November 3rd to the 6th. It's Mr. Maz Jobrani.
Hello, Olin.
Finally, a humorist and author who will be appearing with Roy Blunt Jr. at the Brattleboro, Vermont Literary Festival on October 15th, Mr. Tom Beaudet.
Hey, Olin.
Welcome to the show, Olin. You're going to play Who's Carl This Time? Of course, Carl Castle will start us off with three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl's voice on your home answering machine. You ready to go?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it. Here's your first quote. It's actually a series of denials collected from over the past year or so.
No way. No. Not going to happen. No, I'm not running. I'm not ready. I'm not going to be the Republican candidate for president in 2012. What do I have to do, short of suicide, to convince people I'm not running?
That was just a small sample of the statements over the past year by one guy who the Republican Party still seems to believe might run for president. Who is it?
Is that the non-candidate Chris Christie?
It is! Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey. Very good. The Republicans have 8 or 9 official candidates for president, 15 if you count all the voices in Michelle Bachmann's head. But they're still looking for a savior. These days, they want somebody who's not Rick Santorum, who's a hard right ideologue who will scare off the center, and not John Huntsman, who's a moderate who will annoy the base, and not Mitt Romney, who's Mitt Romney. So enter Chris Christie, the overweight guy from New Jersey. He's famous for his temper and his toughness. He's basically Tony Soprano without Tony's charming moments of self-doubt. But even though Christie says he's flattered by the attention, he has also said over and over again he won't do it because the desire to be president is, quote, not inside him, unquote. And from looking at him, that is the only thing that is not inside Chris Christie.
Well, all I've ever heard the guy say is what the litany that Carl just went through, that he's not running. Then every headline I say is Christie signals he's still in the game.
Yeah. But he doesn't run anywhere anyway, right?
Oh, you know what it is?
I think he's shuffling slowly towards being running.
In other political news this week, Mitt Romney, we always want to check in with Mitt Romney, suggested that he was better than the other candidates because he, quote, didn't have a political career. That's what he said.
Oh.
Mitt Romney has run for statewide and national office 4 times and lost 3 times. He doesn't have a political career in the same way I never dated cheerleaders. I'm mean, it wasn't really his choice, was it? All right, enough of that. Here's your next quote.
If you're hungry, eat a hedge fund manager.
That was a sign being waved at a now week-long protest staged where?
Was it outside of Wall Street?
It was. It was Wall Street, in fact.
Very good, yes.
People have been wondering when the guys who actually caused the Great Recession of 2008, the Wall Street financiers, would get their just desserts, and now they have. Every day for a week, they've had to, for the first time, look upon people who make less than $500,000 a year. Dear God, some of that clothing isn't tailored. Driver, move on. The 300 or so protesters have a volunteer medic, and he told the Wall Street Journal that the number one injury among the protesters is blisters from bongo playing.
Is that true?
That's absolutely true. Oh. That does not include, of course, the people who were pepper sprayed by the police over the last weekend, but that wasn't an injury, that was just seasoning.
I read somewhere, someone said that this is the most over-educated group of protesters that's ever assembled.
Right.
And the photos I've seen, they're usually in like a meditation position. Yeah.
Well, no, that's the bongo blisters.
Right. They're taking a time out with their hands.
They're holding the salve in their little grip.
All right. Your last quote comes from a beloved commentator.
I can sleep day or night. Sitting, standing, or lying down. I often fall asleep right here at this desk.
That was just one of the pearls of wisdom that have dropped from the lips of a commentator on 60 Minutes for more than 30 years. He announced his retirement this week. Who?
Is that Andy Rooney?
It was Andy Rooney. Yes, very good. Now, you younger listeners, that is anyone under 50, may not have understood why sometimes at the end of a 60 Minutes episode, an old man would come on and complain about some newfangled notion like telephones or antibiotics. But trust us, it's kind of a tradition. Andy Rooney wrote his first essay for TV back in 1964, and it was called, this is true, An Essay on Doors. We assume it started, did you ever notice there are these big wooden planks keeping you from walking into the next room?
And why do they swing two ways? They all swung the same way. Could remember.
Do you think they came up with his segment because they did the show and they were like, well, we got 59 minutes. We need one more minute.
The show, wouldn't it be better to call the show 59 minutes? No, there has to be another minute. Get that guy.
Get an angry old man to just complain.
Yeah.
I wonder if they just had like a camera in his office at all times.
Yeah.
And he come in every morning and sit in there, and then they just review the tape at the end of the week, you know?
Actually, I met him once, and then I saw him the very next night at a different restaurant. Not like I was like, hey, Andy. I mean, I just saw him at the bar and kind of... But what are the odds that you see Andy Rooney two nights in a row in your life?
That explains his commentary. Did you ever notice that woman following me around? What's up with that?
What's up with that?
Did you ever notice that redheaded stalker?
Carl, how did Olin do in our quiz?
Oh, three correct answers, Peter. So, Olin, you win our prize.
Well done.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Good luck with the drugs. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Tom, good news for parents who need a little help understanding their teenage boys. There's a new smartphone app that will tell you if your son is what?
I'm glad they didn't have that when I was a teenager. I need a hint. That's so broad.
Well, a yes result gives you a rainbow display and a link to buy tickets to a Lady Gaga concert.
Gay?
Yes.
They have a gay
app?
They
have a gay, thanks to, it's called the Is Your Son Gay app. It came out of France. It's for Android. And thanks to it, you won't have to be clueless and obtuse without technological help. You just answer these 20 easy and offensive questions, and you can begin preparing for a future devoid of grandchildren. Not because gay people don't have kids, but because your child will never speak to you again.
But what are these questions? Like, is your son making his own drapes?
Almost. The questions are, some of them are, does it take him a long time to do his hair? Does he like musicals? Does he read the sports pages? Presumably you're looking for a no answer there, but maybe there are good pictures of athletes. Who knows? There's a similar app, but it's for the kids. It's called Is Your Parent a Moron? And there's just one question. Does your parent have that Is Your Son Gay app?
So you have to have the kid take the test.
No, well, presumably you're like, I guess so.
Oh, you answer for the kid?
I guess you answer for the kid. It's like a little quiz, and you're like, oh, you input, you know your child.
What if you're not sure, and you're like, yeah, yeah, and you're like, wait a minute, that's me. I'm gay.
Oh, God. It can help you.
You know what? Back in my day.
In your day.
It was totally low tech. I didn't know it at the time, but I have one gay brother and one straight brother.
Yeah.
Looking back, one brother had a poster of Farrah Fawcett on his wall. The other brother had an 8x10 glossy of Joan Rivers. That's better than any app, right?
So
it's right there in your face.
So which one was gay?
Yeah, that's right. Time right now for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you are on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Shannon Brown from Portland, Oregon.
Hey, how are things in Portland?
Things are great. We're having our 2 weeks of summer.
Oh, yeah. That's a little late, isn't it?
A bit, but right now it's just perfect.
Well, welcome to the show, Shannon. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Shannon's topic?
For me, every day is Valentine's Day, as long as there's spicy mustard.
There's an old saying. True love comes to those who wait, but sometimes it comes with a bonus, a little side of relish, maybe. Our panelists are going to read you three love stories that each revolve around a condiment, only one of which, though, was in the news this week. Guess this true story, you'll win Carl's voice in your home answering machine, or voicemail, whatever you got. You ready to play, Shannon?
I am.
All right, first let's hear from Mazdebrani.
What happens when a Saudi sheikh discovers his wife loves Thousand Island dressing so much that she carries a bottle with her everywhere she goes? The answer is obvious. The sheikh goes out and buys a Thousand Islands to honor his wife and stocks the islands with bottles upon bottles of the creamy, orangish, can't-live-without-it salad dressing. Sheikh Ali Abdullah Omar al-Bin al-Hassan ibn Hamid al-Walid al-Doha... otherwise known as Sheikh Al, was enamored with his fourth wife. When the two had a rift over how to raise their eighth son, Sheikh Al felt he might lose the love of his life, Maryam. So he did what any ordinary man with a ton of money would do. He went out and bought things. As told by Professor Anwar al-Sabadi of Tufts University, the sheikh knew he had to do something huge, and I mean huge. So he contacted the Republic of Fiji and inquired about purchasing 1,000 islands. The Fijians didn't even know if they had 1,000 islands. Of course, some of the islands were nothing more than tiny pieces of rock that the sheikh agreed to buy in order to meet his quota. However, he did stock the largest island with cases of Thousand Island dressing and took his wife there on vacation. Upon seeing the quantity of dressing at her disposal, Maryam gave in to Sheikh Al's charm and made peace with him. She also ordered a green salad with seasonal vegetables so she could enjoy her Thousand Island dressing in paradise.
Thousand Islands, the purchase thereof, inspired by Thousand Island dressing. Your next story of condiments and love comes from Tom Bodette.
When Carrie Thurman first met her husband of 20 years, commercial fisherman John Rohr, it was love at first smell. He'd just returned from a 10-day cod trip. His fingernails were jammed with baitfish. His hair was crusted in slime, and it made me so hot. I grew up in an observant, nearly orthodox Norwegian family where there was a lot of love and a lot of fish. Lutefisk, pickled herring, smoked cod. Seriously, the phrase, something smells fishy around here, is a Scandinavian pickup line. Carrie and John's happy long marriage was rekindled every time John returned from another fishing trip. So it's no surprise that John's recent retirement from fishing took some of the bloom off that old marital rose. We were starting to wonder what to do about it when we stumbled on the answer at a Thai restaurant in Anchorage, fish sauce. I swear, John dipped his spring roll and I almost took him down right there at the table. It turns out that Thai fish sauce has exactly the right pheromonal chemistry to simulate a mixture of cod, slime, bait herring, and bilge water. It's like catnip for a Norwegian or a Swede, says a beaming John, whose internet sales of fish sauce, repackaged as Return to Port Cologne for Men, have topped 10,000 units.
There you go. Thai fish sauce as a cologne. And your last story of love in the time of condiments comes from Faith Saley.
Ketchup, like a great lover, is zesty, viscous, and delicious spread all over. Which is why, when a hitman in Brazil fell in love with his target, he spared her life but didn't hold back on smothering her in the tangy sauce. Carlos Roberto de Jesus was hired by a housewife named Maria to murder the woman Maria suspected was having an affair with her husband. For $540, Carlos was more than ready to knock off the alleged mistress. But as soon as he laid eyes on his comely victim, a hot tomato named Iranildez, anticipation was making him wait. He decided to fake her death. Carlos and Iranildez went to the local supermarket, bought two bottles of ketchup, ripped Iranildez's shirt, stuck a machete under her arm, and smeared ketchup all over her. Carlos then sent a photo of this gruesome image to Maria. Their ruse was discovered a few days later when Maria spied them kissing on the street. Maria, as ingenious as the hitman she hired, went straight to the police to accuse Carlos of stealing $1,000 from her. The savvy trio now faces charges. Maria for making threats to kill, Carlos and his saucy lover for extortion.
All right. Three stories of love and condiments. From Maz Jobrani, love of a thousand island dressing leads a sheikh to purchase a thousand islands in the Pacific. From Tom Baudet, Thai fish sauce as an aphrodisiac cologne for a couple in Alaska. Or from Faith Saley, how a hitman fell in love with his target and used ketchup to fake her murder. Which of these is the real story of love and a side dish in the news?
Well, they're all very touching and heartwarming, and I wish they could all be true.
Don't we all?
But I have a special place in my heart for ketchup because I, too, contain natural mellowing agents.
Oh.
Shannon, so you sound delicious.
You're going to go for Faith's story of the hitman who used ketchup to have a rendezvous with his target. Well, we actually have a bit of news about this very story.
The tale of love, jealousy, treachery, and ketchup happened in the small town of Pindobaçu in northeastern Brazil.
That was a report from Al Jazeera on the hitman who fell in love with his intended victim and covered her with ketchup as a love offering. Congratulations, you got it right. Faith Saley told the truth.
Thanks, Shannon.
She gets a point just for doing that. You win Carl's voice on your home answering device, whatever it may be.
Oh, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
My baby got sauce, and of course, as a matter of course, she does what she wants to, because she's the boy.
And now the game where we ask people with great talent to use absolutely none of it in answering our questions. Tabby Gevinson's fashion blog, The Style Rookie, became a must-see web destination all over the fashion world, and she's been invited to runway shows all over. She's written for and been profiled in magazines like The New Yorker and French Vogue. That would all be really interesting, even if she hadn't started doing it at age 11, which would be really, really interesting if that wasn't just 4 years ago. She's now launched a new web magazine, rookiemag.com. Tabby Gevinson is with us now. Welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. A pleasure
to
have you here.
Thanks.
So, you're a high school sophomore, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and you started doing this when you were 11.
Yes, I was about to turn 12.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
I was less than a month away.
I'm not impressed anymore. And so basically, you are a typical high school sophomore by day, international fashion blogger by night.
It is like Hannah Montana.
It is. I've noticed, I don't know much about fashion, but I looked at your blog. You tend to like vintage stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff that has sort of an antique feel, and even as you say, kind of a, almost, I won't say decay, but it's like almost a nostalgic feel,
mm-hmm.
which is odd for someone whose personal nostalgia would be 2004. But you seem to like things that happened before you were born. For example, I'm told that you have a big obsession with the 90s in particular.
You know, I like a lot of stuff from the 90s, but...
I was there. It wasn't that much fun. What... Like what? What do you like from the 90s?
I like My So-Called Life and the Riot Girl movement and Freaks and Geeks. Sure. Which went into 2000, but yeah.
I know. It still counts. End of the 90s. So you like culture, the culture of the 90s is exciting to you?
Yes.
You have this taste that you've expressed that people start paying attention to you, flying you around, as we've said. Do you begin to feel that you have some influence? Do you like, wow, I could feature this dress or this designer or this pair of shoes or this whatever on my blog and it will get a big jump in the world. Should I? Shouldn't I? Are you beginning to get crazed with power, I guess is my question?
Well, I've always just kind of posted about what I liked.
Yeah.
And I didn't really realize for a while that meant that, like, people would buy those shoes or whatever. Maybe. So I have not taken advantage of that. I should.
Right. Well, people... Yeah. Listen. Stick with me. You'll go far.
But, you know, when I was your age, I was working at a Burger and Chicks and smoking cigarettes behind the school because that's what all my friends were doing, basically. So, like, how's all this going down with your friends? I mean, it's...
I don't know. It's not really a, like, topic of conversation.
Do you end up styling them? Do people ask you every day at school, like, how does this look?
I think I surprise some people because a lot of the time I roll out of bed and go to school and it's like I don't wear anything that interesting sometimes. But like last year, technically at my school, you're not allowed to wear a costume on Halloween because I guess people will die or something.
Yes.
So, but I did, but I got away with it because I think people just assumed that I was like wearing giant foam bunny ears because I.
Because you're you. Outfit.
It wasn't a costume, it was international fashion.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Anna Wintour gave me these bunny ears. Of course I have to wear them. this is a personal question because I happen to know some teenage girls. They live in my house. And if I wanted to talk to them. I haven't yet. I'm a little scared. But if I wanted to talk to my teenage daughters, can you tell me some common mistakes that I should avoid, for example?
I don't know. I'm not like a parent spy, but like,
What annoys you? You're an articulate young woman, so what really bothers you?
Well, this isn't just parents, but like blaming everything on like PMS.
Okay.
Sorry,
important tip.
Yeah, because, you know, it doesn't seems to kind of like dismiss emotions based on like
right.
an you, assumption.
You could be angry for other reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, and legitimate reasons.
I didn't know that.
All right, let me try it the other way. If there's something I wanted to say to my teenage daughters to make them think I'm cool, I know this is a lot to ask, but in general, what sort of you know, name should I drop or comment should I make?
You should just speak in, like, abreeves. And
abreeves?
Yeah.
Like, all right, already I'm at sea, so what is an abreeve?
An abreeve is an abreeve.
It's an abbreviation. So give me an example. So abbreve is like abbreviate. So give me an example.
Like, your totes gel of that boy, yo.
Oh man.
This is how I talk to my peers.
Okay, so I should go up to my 13-year-old daughter and I should say to your totes gel of that boy, yo. Okay, that's cool.
No, but boy and yo are separate because yo is hip.
That's pronunciation.
Along
your totes
with groovy.
Gel, your totes gel of that boy. Yo.
Yes. And
I need a subtitle.
No, if I were to say this, and you should tell me this now before I try it, if I were to say this to my daughter, what would I be saying?
You should just say it and go and improvise.
Really? Just see what happens.
Yeah. My goal is to sabotage the Segal family.
Be like, but no, Tavi Gevinson, she knows Anna Wintour, don't hit me again. Is it your PMS? No, I didn't mean that, I'm sorry. Well, Tavi Gevinson, we are just delighted to have you here with us and to spend some time with you. And then, frankly, I'd talk to you all day, but rules are rules, and we have to play a game. And today, the game is called...
Frankly, I really miss Murder, She Wrote.
You're an expert in the things people of your generation love, fashion, pop music, irony. But what do you know about what old people like? We're going to ask you three questions about the tastes of the elderly, and if you get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine, which is something that elderly people still have, just so you know. Carl, who is Tavi Gevinson playing for?
Tavi is playing for Anne Lamoureux of Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
All right. Tavi, here's your first question. You ready to do this?
Yes.
All right. Now, old people are very fond of a TV show called Law and Order, which recently went off the air after 20 years, and one of the most famous elements of that show was a specific sound. It's called the Law and Order clang. Here it is. That just those two beats were created by composer Mike Post. He says he combined six or seven different sounds just to get that effect. Among the things that you're hearing in that is what? A single shirtless man jumping out of a vinyl chair. B, 500 Japanese men stamping their feet on a wooden floor. Or C, Walter Cronkite clearing his throat.
The 500 dudes.
The 500 Japanese guys jumping on the floor? You're right! Yes!
Whoa. Nice!
Wow!
Next time you listen to it, according to my post, that's what you're hearing. Very good. Next question. Another thing that older people like is the music of Neil Diamond. Something most people don't know about the famous singer-songwriter is that he is also what? A, an expert swordsman, B, a devout Hindu, or C, an avid builder of elaborate Lego displays?
Hindu?
Hindu, you think?
Yeah.
No, actually, it's swordsman.
Oh,
he's an expert fencer. He fenced for New York University. And to this day, he sometimes warms up for concerts with a little blade work. All right, this is exciting, though. Because you have one more chance. If you get this, you win. Here we go. One for our listener. Sometimes old people will drive around in their Buick Regals listening to something else they like, NPR. Which of these was the title of a real NPR program? A, period, comma, exclamation point. B, I'd rather eat pants. Or C, the joy of flutes.
The pants one?
The pants one, I'd rather eat pants?
Yes.
You're right! Yes! Whoa! However did you know?
I'm a genius.
Yes, well. I'd rather eat pants was a, quote, hilarious, unquote, original radio play broadcast by NPR during Christmas 2002. It starred Ed Asner and Ann Mira. It was about old people. Carl, how did Tavi Gevinson do in our quiz?
Well, Peter, Tavi had two correct answers, and that's enough to win for Anne Lamoureux.
Thank you. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Tavi Gevinson is a young woman behind Rookie Magazine online at rookiemag.com. Tavi Gevinson, what a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much. Tavi Gevinson, ladies and gentlemen. A minute, Carl celebrates Rhyme Hashanah, the Limerick New Year.
Oh, God.
Generations of ancestors of mine just spun in their graves. If you'd like to help him celebrate, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. But first, panelists, it's time now for a round of the new game that we call...
Extra, extra, read all about it.
All right, so as we've done before, Carl is going to read each of you three headlines, one of which was actually found in a newspaper recently. Pick the real one, you get a point. First up from Moz, a story from the National Post of Canada. It has a certain Canadian flavor. Was it A...
Unclean poutine sends teens to latrine.
B...
Sister hits moose on way to visit sister who hit moose.
Or C...
Mountie blames horse for lost desire to mount.
Oh. I like all three of those.
They're good.
Let's go with, I'm going to, I'd like to go with C, but I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with A. Unclean poutine sends teens to the latrine.
I like it.
Yeah, I do too, but it was really Sisterhood's moose on Wade who was a Sisterhood moose. One sister ended up in the hospital after she hit the moose with her car. Her sister went to visit, and a big furry ball of irony jumped out in front of her car. All right, Faith, you're up next. This is from the New York Daily News. It concerns some news at an outdoor market. Was it A?
Old man accused of squeezing young melons.
B?
Pilferer picks a peck of pickled peppers, also several purses.
Or C?
Vendors banned from cutting the cheese outside.
I want it to be C.
How badly do you want it to be C?
Really badly.
You got it. Yeah, C. The city says vendors must only cut the cheese in licensed facilities indoors, which, you know, probably just makes it worse. All right. Tom, this one's for you. Last time from the Metro. It's a celebrity story. Was it A?
Justin Bieber, just in rehab.
Or B?
Fergie isn't pregnant. Just really likes tacos.
Or C.
Robert De Niro nearly decapitated.
Oh, I love that one. I'm going to go with the one I love.
What?
Nearly decapitated.
Nearly decapitated. Could happen, but it didn't. It was really Fergie isn't pregnant. Just really likes tacos.
Hilarious.
All right, panel, now just some questions for you from the week's news. Faith, as you know, reality shows, reality competition shows, very profitable for the TV networks. The CW network announced it's going to bring Hollywood glitz and glamour to what classic party game?
Is it like spin the bottle?
No, although that would be fun.
Truth or dare?
Your ideas are so much more interesting than the CW networks, I have to say.
So it's not...
Not the parties that, like, you're going to go to when we're done, but, like, kids' parties.
Oh, a party... Duck Duck Goose.
No.
Red Rover, Red Rover.
I love this. Keep going.
Oh, my God. Come on, guys. What am I not...
No, give me a hint. When the music stops, the excitement begins.
A musical chairs?
Yes, musical chairs.
Thank you for my hint.
You're welcome. Musical chairs may sound like a lame idea for a show, but that's just because it is. Nonetheless, the new CW show is going to be called Extreme Musical Chairs. Oh, my God. It's extreme. It's not just a kids' game because they're going to have, like, obstacles and various conditions. And if you fail to find a seat when the music stops, they execute you. That's extreme. Children's party games will become the latest fad in reality TV. Upcoming game shows include the controversial and somewhat bloody Pin the Tail on the Real Donkey. And a human pinata with the slogan, "Keep hitting him, there's candy in there somewhere."
I'm a comedian, I live in LA. I pitch shows to networks all the time and get nixed.
Right.
And the musical chair show is going.
Should have thought of that, man.
Oh, come on.
Somebody got that through, yeah.
Maz, 70s stoner comedians Cheech and Chong are back. And in their latest film, they're doing what?
Getting stoned?
No. Times have changed. They're no longer pushing dope. They're something else.
Oh, they're pushing something else.
Yeah.
Other than dope.
Yeah.
Pushing each other.
Meditation?
No.
It's a positive thing.
Yeah, it's a positive thing.
It's good for you.
Oh, yes.
They are pushing low-carb diets.
You're close. I'll give you a hint. They used to be about getting high. Now they're about staying regular.
Oh. Okay, they're pushing, the things that cause you to, you know, the fiber.
Yes, in fact, exactly. It's fiber. Fiber One brownies. I know.
That's good.
So these online ads for Fiber One brand brownies, they play like a comeback movie for Cheech and Chong, if you ever saw those movies, in which they drive a van filled with, quote, magic brownies to a Burning Man-like festival, only to reveal at the end that the brownies are magic because they're high in fiber. It's a great ad campaign. It's really funny if your idea of a great ad campaign is one that reminds the viewers how incredibly old they've become.
Yeah. And I love the scene where they're partying with the Flomax guys, you know?
They're like, dude, I'm so regular.
Exactly.
Right now.
Yeah.
Didn't you just know when the baby boom started to age that it was going to get really ugly?
It really did. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or you can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show on October 27th in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, who's this?
This is Molly O'Neill, a lesbian in Friday Harbor, Washington.
So is that what you do there, I guess?
I wish. I'm single.
So, Molly, when you're not lesbianing, what are you doing? What are you doing Friday Harbor?
Earlier this year, I was going crazy, and I'll give you, I'm in menopause, but it actually turned out to be computers. So,
you know, we've only known each other for 30 seconds or so, but I feel as if I know you really well.
Well, Peter, you do, because I've been listening to your show for years.
Right.
So I feel very intimate with you.
It's even now. Well, Molly, welcome to the show. Carl Castle is now going to perform for you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you will be a winner. Here is your first limerick.
While downward dog stretches my calf, the hyena pose cracks up the staff. Our yoga's a joke, and it's mirth we provoke with our poses that make us all...
Oh, I was afraid this would happen.
The rhymes with calf, staff.
The word joke's in there?
The word joke is in there. That's true.
Laugh.
Mm-hmm. Laugh, yes. This week we read about laugh yoga. It's been around for a while, getting really popular. Anyone can do laugh yoga. All you do is laugh. You just laugh, and you're doing laugh yoga. It's a great way to cover for yourself when you're in your regular yoga class, and the guy in front of you looks hilarious in his warrior pose. Oh, no, man, I'm just doing laugh yoga. Here is your next limerick.
Newly single, my ego has slumped. I'll spend money on getting defrumped. With to rebound with skill includes a steep bill. I pay £500 when I'm...
Rhymes with slumped, defrumped.
When I'm dumped?
Yes, when you're dumped. Very good. Not you personally, Molly. Don't get worried.
According, oh, that's a long time ago.
According to a recent British survey, getting dumped costs women roughly $850. That's because getting a revenge makeover costs a lot of money. They've got to get their hair and nails done, buy some new clothes and shoes, join a gym, pay Ryan Gosling to accompany them at all times in case they run into their ex on the street. Here is your last limerick.
Any scrap on the counter's for me. If it's out, then I'll have it for tea. When the kitchen's not clean, I'm an eating machine. And I chow down the first thing I
see.
Yes, you got it. Scientists at Cornell have figured out why you're fat. It's because you have an entire room in your house dedicated to the storage of food. Did you know that? And while that should be enough proof, the scientists also say the way you store and display food in your kitchen makes you fat as well. Not to mention the chocolate fountain you installed in your bathroom. Not helping.
You know, this just isn't true. We have a table in the middle of our kitchen, and we keep it loaded with fruit because we have small kids,
right,
and we always are grazing. And week after week, we just watch that fruit rot.
Right. Every now and then, if your kids are like mine, they'll pick up the fruit and look to see if that's where you put the M&Ms.
Right.
If not,
right,
put it down, walk away.
We actually built a giant slingshot last week where we're sending the pears and apples out into the field.
Carl, how did Molly do in our quiz?
Molly, you had three correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail. Congratulations.
Well done, Molly. Congratulations. Yes. Thank you, Molly.
Bye-bye.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer is now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Faith Saley has the lead, Peter. She has 4 points. Tom Baudet has 3. Maz Jobani has 2.
All right. Maz, you are in third place, so you are up first.
Great.
The clock will start when they begin your first question. Fill in the blank. This week, the House approved a stopgap measure that would avert another government blank.
The government stoppage.
Yeah, shutdown.
Shutdown.
NASA reported that the 6-ton falling blank had landed somewhere in the South Pacific.
Asteroid. Satellite. Satellite. You know what I'm saying?
He said asteroid.
He said asteroid.
He was on the right track.
Was I asteroid?
You were so nice. All right. 7 students in Long Island were arrested for taking part in a scheme to cheat on the blanks.
SATs.
Right. The schedule of the Republican primaries was thrown into turmoil by the announcement that blank might move its primary earlier in the year.
Iowa?
No, Florida. Candidate Herman Cain has announced, if elected, he will have fewer blanks than past presidents.
Flights.
No, he'll have fewer balls. Inaugural balls.
Okay.
Nancy Grace denied that she'd
had... That's one way to save money.
Nancy Grace denied that she'd had a wardrobe malfunction while performing on the TV show Blank.
Dancing with the Stars.
Right. To compete with the iPad, this week Blank unveiled the new Kindle Fire.
Amazon.
Right. A Florida ice cream shop is getting complaints after one of the employees dressed as an ice cream cone was mistaken for Blank.
Was mistaken for... A robber?
No, a member of the Ku Klux Klan.
Ah! Oh, my God.
So you're walking down the street, and you see a guy wearing a tall white hood in his head waving to you from an outside an ice cream shop. So, of course, you're like, oh, how nice. David Duke wants me to share an ice cream cone with him. Carl, how did Maz do in our quiz?
Maz had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 12 points and the lead.
Well done, Maz. Well done.
Thank you.
All right. So... Tom is up next. Here we go, Tom. Fill in the blank. A Massachusetts man was charged Wednesday with plotting attacks on the Capitol and the blank.
The Pentagon.
Right. The surprise winner of last weekend's straw poll in Florida was blank.
Herman Cain.
Right. The trial of Conrad Murray, the doctor charged with blank's death, began in L.A.
Michael Jackson.
Right. To check for damage from August's earthquake, work crews began rappelling down the blank.
The Washington Monument.
Right. A 77-year-old retiree in Germany came to a Volkswagen dealer for a test drive and ended up blanking.
He stole the car.
No, he hit it. He hit all 5 cars in the showroom, and he smashed the display window. Guns N' Roses,
really?
The Cure. Yeah, that's what they say. Guns N' Roses, The Cure, and Donna Summer are among the musicians nominated for induction into the blank.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right, when a witness in a Florida robbery trial fainted on the stand, another witness helped out by blanking.
Giving her... Mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
No, by removing her shoe and holding it under the witness's nose in an attempt to revive her.
Must have been a family member.
Yes, when Falguni Patel fainted on the stand, one of her family members, yes, stepped right in and applied shoe-to-nose resuscitation. The method, also known as the Florsheimlich maneuver, did the trick, and Ms. Patel recovered.
Hilarious.
Carl, how did Tom do in our quiz?
Well, Tom had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 13 points, and Tom has taken the lead.
Well done. All right, then. How many, then, does Faith Saley need to win?
5 correct answers.
All right, here we go, Faith. This is for the game. Fill in the blank. Because of the dangerous listeria outbreak, this week consumers were warned to discard any questionable blank.
Cantaloupes.
Right. Although they are still not allowed to drive in Saudi Arabia, women now have the right to blank.
Vote.
Right. According to newly released census figures, over 131,000 same-sex couples reported themselves as blank.
Spouses, domestic partners.
Married. Married. Married, exactly.
Spouses.
This week, this year's late season collapse of the blank baseball team may be the worst in sports history.
The Red Sox.
Yes. An Oregon police description of a suspected bank robber says he blanks.
Holds a gun.
No, looks like a pug dog. Because the Federal Trade Commission ruled its toning sneakers don't really reshape your backside, blank will have to pay out $25 million.
Reebok.
Right. Arch West, the man credited with inventing the blank snack chips, died at age 97.
Doritos. Yes. He died of natural causes.
It's true. As if they don't have enough problems, a federal bureaucrat at the GSA building in Washington, D.C. was injured this week by a blank.
A falling deficit.
No, by an exploding toilet. Authorities are investigating what caused the federal toilet to explode. They issued a memo saying do not flush the toilets or use any domestic water. The parties in Washington responded, as you might expect. The Democrats wanted a $1 billion program to help the toilets get over their anger. And the Republicans voted to invade the 4th floor ladies' room. Carl, Did Faith do well enough to win?
She needed 5 correct answers. Faith had 6 correct answers. So with 16 points, Faith Saley is this week's champion.
Well done.
Thanks.
Well done. In just a minute, we're asking our panelists to predict who will replace Andy Rooney as our nation's preeminent philosopher. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the National Association of Realtors, an advocate for homeownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery, working to build molecules that can turn off cancer cells at vanderbilthealth.com. And Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, which monitors mileage and safe driving habits to determine a personalized rate. Learn more at progressive.com. Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Goedeker writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Assistant house manager is Jessica McLeod. Our intern is Hannah Withers. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Stolarczyk and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. B.J. Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillock, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Don't Tell Me is, let me check, yes, it is still him, Michael Danforth. Now, panel, who will be the next Andy Rooney? Faith Saley.
Well, the Vatican just proclaimed the Pope too young to retire, so I predict we'll hear Benedict stepping in to say, you ever notice how dry the wafers are?
Mazda Brani.
In an effort to coax him out of hiding, 60 Minutes will collaborate with the U.S. government and offer the job to Muammar Gaddafi. He'll start his segments with, you know what I hate about the Arab Spring?
And Tom Baudet.
Rumpled suit, excessive ear, nose, and brow hair, hates everything. Ralph Nader, welcome back to primetime.
And if any of those people emerge as the next Andy Rooney panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Faith Saley, Mazda Brani, and Tom Baudet. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We will see you next week. This is NPR.